Thanks for being here today. I feel a lot of pressure on me. My wife stood here last Sunday, and it was a great message. And she let you guys out early. I mean, you know. Lord, I pray you'd bless this time of teaching. I pray it'd be helpful for us. And help me to say what needs to be said in a way that would please you. And Lord, help our hearts to be open to the truths the Holy Spirit shows us. So we ask for your help in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. This is the fourth message in this series entitled Parent Power. Parent Power. Now, this is not leaving anyone out this morning, because today we're going to be talking about the challenges of correctly correcting your children. You may say, well, I don't have any. Well, you are one, and you have a Heavenly Father that correctly corrects you. So this is relevant to each and every one of us here today. And I'm going to share some tips from Proverbs, primarily today out of one passage. And here we go, Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. No amens. Any old me's. I'd actually thought about, well, we could just go around and let everyone share the worst spanking story they have. Then we could call our sozo teams up here and have a time of healing, right? But folks, this is God's Word, and it is important that we be corrected, we big kids, that we live a life where we're humble and God can correct us. Show us what needs to change. Get rid of the bad stuff, put in the good stuff. But as parents with children, we are called to heed God's Word. And we are told here, and I mean, we look at our sweet little ones, you know, particularly when they're sweet and got those chubby cheeks and everything they do is just the cutest thing ever. And to realize, the Bible says that child has foolishness inside them. And it's our responsibility to help rid them of it. So, we want to talk about this morning. And hopefully it'll be helpful for us. Now, there are cultural differences in how people correct their children, how people discipline their children. A generation ago, I'll say 40 years ago, things were much different than they are in today's world. Now, it's just the truth. Maybe some here, and I know a lot of us who have some kin folks, they would be called before the court today for how they exercise discipline in the home. And there's numbers of us here, I'm sure, have some stripes on the back of the legs from peach tree limbs. Now, I don't know if that was the right method, but it sure got the right result. But it's important that we correct correctly. And it's also important that I teach you what the Scripture says. And it says the rod of correction will drive foolishness out of our children's life. And that'll be a blessing to them. Okay, I remember my very first time out of the country, my first mission trip, 1983. I set foot on the continent of Africa in the nation of Nigeria. I have a lot of memories from that trip. But one thing that I remember in relation to today's teaching is I was in one of the outdoor meetings. The believers had gathered. They had invited people. And the way they did it, they gathered all the kids up over in a section to themselves. And those kids were just sitting there on the ground, just side by side, and really well behaved for the most part. And I noticed that behind them, a man stood there, and he had a stick in his hand. It was about 6 foot long, and it was similar to a fishing pole, but not that big around in diameter. It was pretty flimsy. But I sat there during the service, and I watched, and if one of those kids started talking and acting up just a little bit, the man with the stick, he would go, pop, right on top of the head. Now, this is in Africa. It's dusty. It's dirty. But when he had popped them on the top of the head, dust would just fly everywhere. And I thought, that's funny. But that hurts, you know. And you'd watch them, and these two over here, they'd be scuffling. Pop, pop, right on top of the head. Dust would fly. That's the way they did it. Now, the thing is, he wasn't the parent of all those kids. But everyone there had an understanding. He had the responsibility to keep those kids in line and had allowed him the authority to manage their children in that environment. Now, if I were to announce this morning, next Sunday in Children's Church, we're going to have a man with a stick. We probably wouldn't need to have Children's Church. It wouldn't be children at church, right? The Good News translation of this verse, the Good News translation is one of the most basic, simple translations of the Bible that you can find. Missionaries and so forth created it to put the Bible in the English language in just real simple terms. Here's how it reads in the Good News translation. Children just naturally do silly, careless things, but a good spanking will teach them how to behave. Now, this is not a standalone scripture on this issue, just for some other, not that it needs to be mentioned more than once in scripture, but listen to Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him diligently. Isn't that something that God's Word would say? If you really love your child, you're going to discipline them. In the Bible days, they knew what the rod of correction was. As a matter of fact, the first time the word rod is mentioned, this word rod is mentioned in the Scriptures in Genesis 49, verse 10. And it's a messianic reference. It says, and the scepter will not depart from Judah. That word scepter, same word rod. In other words, one would come, his name's Jesus, who would hold the rod forever. Now, sometimes when we hear like the term rod of correction, we think about those stripes on the back of our legs, or we think about that time that a parent or a teacher just lost it and in a rage spanked us in ways that would be classified as abusive. But when the Scripture teaches this, it's talking about a loving authority, a father who's so loves the son that he realizes, if I don't make this uncomfortable for you to do this in this behavior, if I don't make it uncomfortable for you when this happens, then you'll do it comfortably, and that's going to cause greater trouble in your life. So it's an expression of love to use the rod of correction. It's important to correct correctly, and today's message is about, and Nick, any time that you want to add to this, I do welcome you to come, seriously, because she and I have been talking about this back and forth, this series, and I want her always to feel welcome to do that. Listen to this, Proverbs 23:13-14. I'm just peppering you with some word here. Don't fail to discipline your children. The rod of punishment won't kill them. Kill them. I just added my version. Verse 14. Physical discipline may well save them from death. Now, most of us growing up, our parents said something, before they spanked us, they said something like, this is going to hurt me a whole lot more than it hurts you. And we thought, how foolish is that? But when you're the one responsible to correct your child, you understand what that means. Because you love your child. Use as a template over what I'm saying some enraged father or mother who have fire in their eyes, who are cursing you and swinging at you and maliciously beating you. I am not talking about that. But as I've read and you've heard said, that when the Board of Education is properly applied, there will be the acquisition of knowledge in the area of the seat of understanding. Right? It's foolishness is bound up, knotted up, wound in, woven together with other things in your child's heart. So part of the parent's responsibility is when that shows up to let the child know, I see it, you need to begin to recognize it because it's not your friend. Just like somebody walking up to the door, knocking on your door, and you open it, and they said, I've got a diamondback rattler here. It's a good one. Look how big it is. And they pull it out. It's a rattling. Big old fangs. And I'd like for it to live here in your home, and they pitch it in the house. Well, you're not going to thank them. You're not going to say, well, welcome, Mr. Snake. Find you some shade. Have a good day. You want that thing out of your house. Why? Because you realize it has death in its mouth. And in a similar way, a parent, with God's help, is to discern and recognize foolishness in the dwelling place of your child's heart and help route it out. So, this is what we're focusing on. Now, the next thing I want to share is that even in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of the book of Hebrews goes back to the book of Proverbs to explain to us how God corrects us. He reaches into Proverbs 3 and says, whom the Father loves, He chastens. You know, every son He receives, He disciplines. Let me read it for you in the New Living Translation. Again, a little bit more simple translation. Hebrews 12, verse 6 and following. Listen carefully. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes each one He accepts as His child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own children. Who ever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all of His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? Now hang on, listen to this, verse 10. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. I'm glad that part of that verse is in there. Doing the best they know how. There's no perfect parents, none here this morning save one. And the first two kids of his rebelled. He said, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years doing the best they knew how, but God's discipline is always good for us that we may share in His holiness. Now verse 11, listen to this. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful, but afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. The writer of Hebrews is saying, our Heavenly Father does this for us. And so, earthly fathers, as parents, we should learn from Him so that we can lead our kids. He's love. He's kind. He's just. He's fair. He's firm. And He's willing for us to experience pain in order that we get heaven's gain. This is what this says. And it's not fun while it's happening. I mean, when you give your life to the Lord and He adopts you as His child, He takes His parenting seriously. And it's like, I mean, when you begin to understand like this, if I do something, I'm going to get caught. It's just, that's the Lord's love. Now, He'll let things be covered with mercy, and He'll give you a little line. He'll give you some room. But if you keep on, be sure your sin's going to find you out. And it's going to cost something. And there's times where it talks about the Lord's rod of correction. Well, it's not that He takes a rod and He whips you with it. But He allows things to happen. He allows things to come into our life. And sometimes He simply allows us to experience the pain of our own sinful choices Because sin, according to Romans 1:18, sin carries its own consequence. It reveals the wrath that's in it. It reveals destruction. It manifests it. So the Lord, just like we do with children sometimes, like, okay, you do that, this is what happens. And it's painful. So, with this in mind, I want to share with you out of the Hebrews 12 passage, which is rooted in Proverbs 3, three ways that correction is a benefit. Number one, it is proof that God loves you. We just read that. Whom the Father loves, He disciplines. If He doesn't discipline you, then you're really not His child. I love the way Dr. Adrian Rogers, who used to be my pastor, he said, sinners can leap into sin and love it, but saints, they lapse into sin and loathe it. Don't enjoy it. I mean, like you did before you were saved, why you get under conviction of the Holy Spirit and the chastening hand of the Lord begins to move in your life to correct you and perfect you and direct you and all the stuff that goes with that. So it's evidence. To be corrected by the Lord is an evidence of love. And when we parents correct correctly, our children will understand our love for them in a greater way. I will tell you this, if you do not discipline your children, there'll come a time, and then they may like the fact they just get to go where they want to go, do what they want to do with no regard, but there'll come a time when they'll say, why did you allow me to do that? Why did you not call me out? Why did you not stop me? Correction and discipline is an evidence of love. Secondly, it's painful, and that's a benefit. What do you mean it's a benefit? Pain, just like when you have a pain in your body, it's signaling you something's wrong. The part of discipline is painful. It's signaling, you know, you did this thing, that was wrong, and that's the reason there's pain involved. And so children and adults as well, we learn, you know, like, I don't think I'll do that again. That's too painful. So it's painful. The Bible says it is painful. No one enjoys it while it's happening. I mean, I remember in high school a few times having to go to the principal's office and not to help him with something, but to allow him to help me with something. And I want to tell you, I didn't enjoy it one bit when it was happening. But I can look back today, thank you, Mr. Miller, for correcting me. Because if I'd continued doing that nonsense, anyway, it's painful. Thirdly, it's profitable. And we have benefits, like this verse said, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. That word "trains" is a big word. We'll see it again in 22:6, probably next week. But it's profitable. And earlier, the writer, where I read in Hebrews 12, it says, God does this to benefit you, that you'll become more like Him. You'll be a partaker of His holiness. Sometimes when we're going through those difficulties and we're being corrected, what God's doing is busting off some stuff so that we'll look more like Jesus. Because He loves us. He doesn't want us to settle for less. He wants us to be free, not bound. So these are three benefits of discipline. Now, there are some things that will happen in the life of a child who is correctly corrected, who's disciplined out of love in the right way. They'll grow in their understanding because the whole purpose of discipline is growth, maturity, development, profitability, to benefit you, to help you. It's always that. That's the goal. There's not, you know, sometimes rules, there can be punishment meted out, but even behind that is the idea this is going to help you. Understanding. What's understanding? There needs to be, when to correctly correct a child, the child needs to have an understanding of what they've done that you don't want them to do anymore. just like they're misbehaving and you randomly spank them. You need to, or correct them. You need to point out, and you have to communicate on their level to understand. And when they're really young, they don't have much understanding. And so you can't really reason things out. So you have to get them to first understand that when you tell them something, they have to do it. That you are an authority in their life. How do children learn to submit to God's authority in their life? By learning to submit to the authority of their parents in the home. Amen. Want to raise a rebel? Raise a child without any notion of what authority means. So, understanding. That's the cumulative knowledge that you have that helps you explain and understand things. And a child needs this. Now, a two-year-old, again, you can't, and Nikki mentioned last week about the Poison Control Center. We had to call them a lot, particularly with Carabeth, our second born, our little girl. Mama now with three herself. But we had to call Poison Control Center several times. The joke around the house was when you call them, they said, well, what's Carabeth done now? You know. But one day she found a battery, you know, like a AA battery, and she thought she'd just make a popsicle out of it, a lollipop, so she was sucking on it, licking on it, came into the room holding the battery, and the skin on her lips was just curling up and falling down. You know, it's just, you know, and she was crying, it's burning. And she was, what, three to four. So she's young, and so when that's happening, you don't want to go overboard like, Carabeth, that's a AA battery. It has acid in it. The acidity in the battery is now reacting with the composition of your human skin and causing an irritation, a burning irritation to occur, and it's not a pleasurable experience. You don't do that. You say, you can't have batteries. No batteries. Later, when they get more understanding, you can't have batteries because they hurt baby, especially when they're small. They hurt the baby, you can't have batteries. Okay? Later, you may say, you can't have a battery because it's got something in it that will burn you and it will hurt. And then as they get older and more understanding, you can have your chemistry and medical lesson with them and explain, you know, have fun at it. But you have to relate to a child where they are on their terms. Otherwise, you could be disciplining, but it's not changing anything because they don't know what needs to be changed. You can't scream at mama. You can't bite your brother. You know, because you've bitten your brother, it's harmed him, and I've told you not to do it. And, you know, you've got to decide how many shots across the bow there's going to be. How many warnings you give. But when you say it, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Okay? And we'll talk about that in just a moment, how important that is. Understanding. Anything else you want to say on this one? Okay. Secondly, as they're corrected correctly, they'll grow in discernment. Because part of the purpose of correcting is for them to discern what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong. And the Bible says, to use a different language, that like we've got a compass inside of us that points to true north. We have eternity in our hearts. Our conscience, God put in our conscience a realization of what's right and wrong. I mean, a squirrel in the nest, a fish in the sea, a dog on your front porch. They all know to take care of their young, to nurture their young, protect their young. By nature, human beings are that way. You have to be deceived, swallow lies, have your mind darkened to get to a point where you think it's all right to harm your young. And the reason is because we do have that foolishness, that bent in us that wants to take that true north and change the direction of it. So, properly parenting means we're helping our children understand what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. And that goes back to our very first week in here in this series about having a standard. What's going to be truth for you and your family? You know, the smart thing is to go with what we know is true and settle forever in the heavens. That's the Word of God. But people want to change what's morally right and what's morally wrong. And it's important that our children learn discernment through the way we are teaching them and raising them. Now, the third word is the word prudence. We don't use that word a whole lot in today's world, but it's in the book of Proverbs in this same chapter, in verse 3. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished, or the foolish pass on and are punished. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's instructions, but he who receives correction is prudent. Prudent means to be cautious. Prudent means to exercise forethought. Being prudent means you think through something before you actually do it. Now, here's where we can get in error when we think living that way is being fearful. No, living without prudence is being presumptive. And so it's important that we understand this, that our children, if we're correcting them correctly, they are going to learn prudence. Because, see, while you're raising them, you're pointing out, this is right, this is wrong. If you do this, that's going to happen. You don't want that to happen, so don't do this. You're there with them, but there's going to come a time when you're not there. But if you've developed prudence in them, when they come on a new situation, something they haven't seen before, something they haven't done before, instead of just diving into the middle of it and going with it and trying to figure it out, they're going to be prudent. They're going to think through it. And I think this is a biblical quality that the book of Proverbs talks about in several regards. And it's an important one in today's world for us to teach our children how to be prudent, how to have forethought, how to have a certain level of caution about something that's new. Again, you don't want to quench their sense of adventure. You don't want them to feel held hostage in any way. But neither do you want them to not know how to tap the brakes, not to recognize boundaries, not to recognize danger. Even God gave a rabbit enough sense to get in a hole when a storm comes. So this is being prudent. And we use this word in the legal circles about jurisprudence, because there's a lot of forethought and a lot of judgment, a lot of discernment that's part of our court systems in order to render a verdict. So those three things, there could be many more under this, but I think it's important that we develop these three in our parenting. Like, I want my child to understand what I am disciplining them for. I want to use this to help them understand why this is wrong and what doing it right would look right, so that they can recognize that later. Also, in the way I'm doing these things, I am praying that it will develop in them the ability to be prudent. So when I'm not there or it's something I haven't covered, they have learned to process things in this way and can do it for themselves. And the good news is, as believers, we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God all working together with this. Does that make sense? Okay, let's move on then. I want to go through when we're correcting our children, it's also important for us to discern, is this rebellion or is this immaturity? Did they do this because of inability? Or is this happening just because of foolishness? Let me talk about these four things. Rebellion. This is the primal sin against God. It happened in Lucifer, who rose up in pride. You know what? I want God's job. I'll be God. In other words, I don't want to be under God's authority. And so he rebelled. He was defiant. He even persuaded other angelic beings to join him in his rebellion. That's the reason you can have one rebellious person and put them out there in the middle of 1,000 young people, and it's amazing how they'll end up coming together. It's their natural bent. It's that foolishness that's in our heart to be defiant. So when a child is being rebellious, this is the classic. Now, Dad says, I've already told you this is the second time, this is the third time, you are not to do this. Now, here's what I want you to do, and I want you to do it now. No. Now, when that happens, somebody is going to walk away from that encounter a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. And I'm telling you, some children arrive here with a turbo package of self-will. And we've got 4 children. And as Mickey said last, they're very different. The level of compliance and the level of, I want to do it myself. I know better than you. You just think you're boss. And that's not, I'm getting into next week's message about training a child the way they should go, but so I'll stay away from that. But it's important that when this encounter is over, when a child's in that defiance, and I'm particularly talking about younger, because the more you don't deal with it and you let them walk away the winner, the older they get, the harder it's going to be. And there's going to come a time when there'll be a police officer that'll do what you never did, or a judge that will do what you never did, or somebody with a big set of pythons that'll take them on and do what you never wanted to do. Train up a child in the way they should go. Foolishness is found in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will... All this tips, pro tip. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived in his day till Jesus came along. Of course, he topped him by a mile, but wisdom, right out of God's Word. Rebellion. You have to win that standoff. When the line's drawn, they got the chip on the shoulder. I double dog dare you. All that, you know, it's like the little girl that her daddy kept spitting on her brother, and her daddy said, you know, if you do that again, you know, you're going to get in big trouble. She did it again. He said, well, you're going to go stand in that corner, and you're not coming out of that corner until you apologize. She went over there. She just kept spitting on the wall, spitting on the wall, spitting on the wall. Finally, she settled down and calmed down, and Dad said, okay, have you learned your lesson now? She said, no, I'm waiting on more spit. I mean, you're going to have some of these kind of encounters, and when they're young, it's when you've got to have more will than that child to establish your authority. I am not saying that you're going to be abusive in any way, but it may make for a long night till that child comes to the place. And I'm not talking about them. Come help me with this. Because Nick and I were talking about this, and this was helpful.
So the idea is that you want to deal with rebelliousness or willfulness. And however you're disciplining the child, by the end of it, you want them to be submissive. You want them to turn to you and accept your love and to not still be going no or angry. Because if they're still in that place, you haven't dealt with willfulness. You've only made it worse. You're actually making them more willful, more stubborn if you don't get to somehow, and there are so many ways that you can discipline, but you have to deal with the rebelliousness so that they are submissive at the end of the encounter.
And this is not necessarily a one-off either, is it?
No. And one time when we spent about an hour and a half with one of our children, we won't say which one, because they threw peanuts all over the hall, and we said, you have to pick them up. And this lasted for quite some time.
I was crying. The child was crying.
I was crying. We
and
were
I'm
all
saying,
crying.
We'll stay here all night if we have to, but you're going to pick these peanuts up.
And they finally did.
And we, you know, spanking, and like peanuts are still there. And it was a showdown. It really was. Now, what you've got, Ephesians 6 says, you don't have to, you can stay up here. Ephesians 6 says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I like to think of that nurture and admonition, particularly with parents. A mother tends to be more nurturing, and the father's more the admonisher or the instructor. But you want all of that in your child. As Mickey said, you want the child to know they're loved. And like I said, there may be tears in your eyes. What you don't want is your eyes on fire with rage, and then you start lashing out, and you bring the child in submission because they're terrified and maliciously beaten. You don't want that to happen. But if you, because the way you provoke your children to wrath is by you ratchet it up, you get angry, you yell, you scream, and then you whip them out of anger or discipline them out of anger. What you're teaching them is when you get in a tough situation, get loud, start screaming, and try to hurt somebody. But if you do it in the right way, there'll be an humbling. I think it's important anytime we correct, not to correct and leave the room mad, but spend time with the child, hold them. And depending on their age, you know, you can talk to them some more. You know, dad loves you, mom loves you. And I want you to really learn this, because if we can't change this now, it's going to really hurt you later, depending on their age, what you communicate. But you can communicate love by holding, being affectionate. And but it's tough. This is one of the hardest challenges of parenting is correcting our children, because, you know, we don't want them to repeat the things we did. And sometimes we have the memories of how we felt maybe we were wrongly, and we don't want to do that. But we end up not doing anything. And then you end up, instead of, you've got love and hate, instead of being opposites, you've got apathy or indifference. And the child has said, well, what, and I remember, I'm not going to go there. Let's go to the next one. You got rebellion, immaturity. This is just simply, is the child able to regulate their emotions and their decisions? You want to say anything on this? Okay. This is more age-related. Children don't all mature at the same level. That's the reason in school you'll have some kids that are maybe more mature and making their decisions and their emotions more mature. Maybe a child's behind a year or two in that, and yet they're having to be in with the other kids that are ahead of them in their maturity. And that creates situations from them because it makes them different. So we have to be aware as parents, you know, what's going to be the best thing for our children. Immaturity can, sometimes a child's maturity may be stagnated because maybe they had a season of sickness when they were little. And it's just held them back, or they went through some kind of traumatic thing. Maybe they had some kind of surgery, or they were in an accident. And all of those things can hinder or stunt or stall maturity, and it can create issues. We have to be aware of that. And so if your child is acting out and it's just immaturity, and you deal with it like it's rebellion, that's not good. You know, rebellion and defiance, to me, that's more of your high-level discipline if you have to. But immaturity is you want to try different options, whether it's timeout, things like that, and talk through it more depending on their age. I need to move on. Inability is even easier to see. You have a 2-year-old, you pour him a little cup of milk, and he's at the table, and because his little hands, he doesn't have the dexterity and coordination that he's going to have in just a few more months. And he spills his milk. And you come down on him like, you spilled your milk at the table, and you get angry. He can't help it. It's because his little chubby fingers can't manipulate the cup. And yet you're punishing him like he's violated, you know, broken some big rule. Parents, we have to recognize this. There's a difference between an accident and an incident. The peanuts in the floor, that's an incident. The spilled milk on the table, that's an accident. Unless the milk is spilled this way. I don't like this, I don't want it. That's an incident. And you have to make a difference between an incident and an accident. And recognize, and this is an inability issue, it's not a disobedience issue. It's not a rebellious issue. Kids are going to be kids. You've got to leave room for kids to live and breathe and jump and play and be kids. But yet in the mix of that, teach them about rules and boundaries. The rod stood for a ruler, someone who enforced the rules. And so the rod of correction in the home means that the kids knows what the rules are. In our house, we don't do that. In our house, we handle this way, and they learn the rules, and they learn the boundaries. The last one's foolishness, and this one is just, we all have that bent in us that, you know, you're looking at, you can be playing with a child that's cutting up and razzing, you see that gleam in their eye like, yeah, I'll play with you. And then there's other times when you're really serious, like, you are not to do this again. And you see that gleam. You know what they're thinking. They're already conniving to do it. That's the foolishness that's found in a child's heart. So we have to work on these things. We have to continue to work on the foolishness in our own hearts, big people. And we've got a Heavenly Father who's helping us. We read that out of Hebrews chapter 12. Okay? So, I'll stop there. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Correctly correcting. And I really sense everybody in the room, that's what we want to do. We want our children, you wouldn't be here on church on Sunday morning if you didn't want your children to live the right way and go down the right path and make the right decisions. So I commend you for being here. I commend you for having your children under the teaching of God's Word right now. And this is all so important. You're communicating to them, these are our values. This is important to us. But the very best job we can do, there's still a lot of warfare, and the devil's after our kids. We got to stick together, people. We got to pray together. And we've got to work on these things. And we got to help each other, you know. We may not necessarily have a man with a stick, you know, but we can stick together and say, at Grace House, this is what we believe. At Grace House, this is how we behave. At Grace House, this is how we respond. And we want that to be rooted in God's Word. Now, I want to remind you as we stand right now, as we prepare to go, I want to encourage you before you go to know this. God was thinking about your child long before you even knew you were going to have one. He wants to partner with you in this. He's got a purpose and plan, and He wants to partner with you for your child to come into the fullness of that purpose and plan. Secondly, I want to encourage you to know there are angels watching over your child. Book of Matthew, Jesus said, the little ones, angels, always behold the face of the Father. There's angelic help sent by God helping you with your child. You can thank God for that this morning. Thirdly, when you're in one of those tough spots, you can ask God for grace and mercy to help you in your time of need. And He'll help you. And the last thing, all of us are still under the discipline of the Lord ourselves. He's helping us personally so we can help our family. And this way we are family. You and I can help one another, watch out for one another, and pray for one another. Would you bow your heads a moment? Father God, I pray right now the power of your Holy Spirit and the revelation of your Word would just melt together in our hearts and make us stronger as parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters, God's children. Lord, I pray for parents and grandparents in this room right now that have children that aren't living the way they need to live, that are away from you. Could we just all get in agreement for them right now? Lord, we come alongside of these mamas and daddies and grandmamas and granddaddies who have children and grandchildren that need to come to you. And we call them home this morning to you, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would love on them, that you would correct them, that you'd do what needs to do for them to be found in the middle of your will. And we thank you, Lord, it's an evidence of your love when you respond to these prayers to correct, to discipline. And Lord, help us to be an humble crowd here at Grace House, willing to be taught, willing to learn, willing to change. And Lord, we can see that stubbornness in little kids at times. We don't see it in our own hearts. Root it out of us, Lord. We can be a rebellious lot at times. We can be stubborn in the wrong ways at times. We have foolishness at times. God, help us. Daddy God, help us. Maybe we should all pray now, Daddy God, help me. Daddy God, help me. Father God, help me. Maybe we be quick to recognize foolishness, pride, and sinfulness. May we be quick to repent, to do what's good, to obey you. May we respect authority, the older ones among us, the parents, grandparents, or the authority figures in our life. Lord, help us to model that honor and authority. And Lord, you know what every person in the room needs right now. Bless them with that. Help them, Lord. Our altar workers are coming right now. They're going to be here as we dismiss. Because if you're here and you need prayer, maybe you need to give your life to Christ. Maybe you need to recommit your walk with the Lord. Maybe you just are burdened and you need breakthrough concerning something that's been spoken or happened here today, but the Spirit of God's meeting with you. These are coming to pray with you. They're here available to pray with you. We're going to begin to worship right now, and in just a moment I'm going to release you. But I encourage you to come on up right now if you're needing prayer. We'll stay here. We'll pray with you as long as needed. Would you come right now as we begin to sing? Right now. Step out from where you are. You have a need. You need prayer. Come.
The more I find you.
Anyone. You can pray where you are as well. Lord, help me be a good daddy, a good mama, good grandmother, good grandfather, whatever the case may be. Anyone. We'll remain up here to pray with you. Pastor Doc, would you come? It's granddaddy in this house, and just pray the blessing over us as we go this morning. Anything on your heart, come on up.
Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this excellent word we've heard. Give us, Lord, we pray, the grace, the insight, the wisdom, the understanding. So, Lord, we bless you for what we've heard. We want it in our heart. Revelation and information. But Lord, give us the grace to make application. Thank you for this good word. And to all of you, to every family, to every mom, dad, granddaddy, grandmama, may the Lord Jesus bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. Give you the peace that you cannot explain. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. God bless y'all.
Amen. Hope to see you all at the picnic. Yum, yum, hot dogs.